Jared talked about Rolling Stones.
I know one Dolly Parton song, 95. I couldn't tell you anything about Johnny Cash.
And Rolling Stones, yeah, that's my era, but I'm sorry.
I am just not musically inclined. I'm just not. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. In fact, when I was in fifth grade, my piano teacher told my mother that if I wanted to quit piano, that's okay. That's not a musically inclined. And music wasn't really a part of our lives growing up. I mean, my dad played the piano, and my brothers played an instrument, but music wasn't always on the radio, or, you know, I just didn't grow up with that. I had my favorite artists, I guess. And in fact, when I was in high school, I had a friend suggest to me, a young man, that I should listen to Rod Stewart, specifically the song, You're in My Heart, the final refrain. And so, okay, I can listen to that. And I don't know if I bought the album, if I got the single, but I put it on the record player. And those of you of an age, I remember record players, put on the record player, and I listen over and over and over again. And I write down the lyrics, and then I listen some more, and I lift up the needle, write some more. I knew these lyrics. I knew the song. And in fact, I'm sure you all probably remember the, many of you remember the refrain, which is, you're in my heart, you're in my soul. You give me breath, should I? No. You're in my, now I have to sing along. You're in my heart, you're my soul. You be my breath, should I grow old? You are my lover, you're my best friend. You're in my soul. Great. And then somebody told me that Rod Stewart wrote this about a soccer team. Really? Why can't words just be words? Why can't they be what they say? And that's why I like this gospel. God is talking to me. I can hear it. We hear many gospels, and we know many of the stories in the Bible and in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Jewish Bible, and our New Testament, that we know that there was Ark, we know the birth of Jesus, we know the resurrection. But this one really talks to me. Jesus says, when you pray. And as a kid, I remember thinking, I pray, I get it, you're talking to me. I should pray in the dark, in secret. Because it's between you and me, God. It's our relationship, I get it. I heard it, it was to me. And then as I got older, I heard about the alms, of charity, and giving. And again, it's between me and God. I don't need to stand out there and tell everybody how much I give. It's really between God and me. It's a relationship that I have. And that's why I think this particular gospel is relevant for the beginning of Lent. We are now entering a period of time of prayer, intentional prayer. Of penitence, of being in relationship intentionally with God. We're going to be tempted. We're thinking about times that we've been tempted, we've thought about the sins that we've committed. We pray. It's very intentional. And those sins that we've committed have drawn us away from God, have separated us from God. And we know what those sins are. We're going to pray about them today. It's the sins, not of just lust and greed and avarice and all the rest of it, but it's how we treat our fellow human being. How we talk to each other. How we talk to our neighbor. How we interact in the world. That is how our relationship, how we turn away from God when we sin and we do those things. We don't do what we're supposed to be doing. And this time right now, it's a time for us to reconnect. It's a time of meant and worn out. It's a time to return
Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. This season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. Thereby, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance. And as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Please kneel as you are able. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. As the ashes are offered, I invite you to come up the center aisle by exiting your pews on the nave side, coming forward and forming a line. There will be two spots to receive ashes, and then you may return by the most convenient route to your spot. We know it'll be a little bit of holy chaos, but God will be praised.